You are now listening to the Sports Life Talk podcast, hosted by Kevin Tumnus and Serge Vasudevic, where life without sports is just talk, on blogtalkradio.com.
Welcome to episode 6 of Sports Life Talk, where life without sports is just talk. I'm KT with my man Serge. Serge, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing better than last week, and you sound like you're doing better as well.
I sound like a real man today, so I'm happy to be here, record, get the show on the road, man.
Not that you didn't sound like a real man last week. You just sound like a man that took a flu shot that didn't help, and then you've gotten it like twice since then.
Man, that chest congestion is not pretty, and it just wears on, and then it's like a mental aspect of hearing yourself talk. It's just like, I don't sound like myself. And then I know when it comes to, you know, putting out the podcast, and it's like, you got it consistent every week. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, that other guy doesn't sound the same guy.
And, you know, the week before that, or maybe 2 weeks before that, you know, I had the sniffle. So you hear it all through that podcast. So, hey, if you feel any kind of symptoms, please go to the doctor, because I think we've already had, what, 26 deaths from the flu?
Yeah.
That's a serious thing. So we need y'all to go.
It is definitely an epidemic, man. It's going around. And it's, if you don't get the flu, it's pretty much like there's a viral infection that's going around. And it, nobody knows if it's from the air, if it's from food, if it's just a, you know, common matter of just like keeping, your hands as best clean as possible, you know. And I think washing your hands like all the time is like trying to now starting to become like its own epidemic. Like it has to be done.
Please wash your hands when you come from the restroom. Right? That's just nasty.
Yeah.
All right. You know who else is sick right now, Serge?
Who?
Damian Lillard. For some reason, he cannot get his just due as far as being an all-star. And he, you know, he came out and said some things about this. So what are your feelings about Damian Lillard? Does he have a case?
Oh, he absolutely does. I think I want to say that one of the previous years he made it as like a sub for somebody who got ended up getting hurt like within the last week before the all-star game. So the fact that he doesn't get voted in as a starter, I mean, you can't really argue against Steph Curry, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, you know, as the guards in the West to try to make it over. But I think as a reserve, you know, his team is obviously in playoff contention. I mean, and the numbers he puts up, the way he plays, he's very deserving of an all-star. But the problem is, you know, he does play for Portland, you know, in Oregon, and, you know, they don't get a lot of nationally televised games, you know, so people aren't seeing him as much as, you know, some of the other teams. Like, obviously, if you're a team, even the Lakers, even though they're not really that even a great of a team, just because they're the Lakers, they get a lot of, you know, TNT games, ESPN games, as opposed to Portland, you know, who hardly ever get that. So I think that, you know, kind of really magnifies the fact that he doesn't get the same amount of following, which ends up getting, you know, less votes when, you know, whether it's from, obviously, from the fans. I mean, Lonzo Ball got more votes than him this year. I mean, that's just, that can't happen.
So do you think we need to take the fan vote out of it?
I don't think we take the fan vote out of it. I think, you know, I was actually thinking of different ways where they could probably reformat how the voting should be. Like, because if you look on the ballot, every single player from every single team that was announced as the original team members at the beginning of the season are all on the ballot, every player. And that just shouldn't be something that's available to fans where, I mean, you can't vote for somebody that's the 13th guy on the bench. I mean, like, he's not a deserving an all-star. What I think they should do is kind of do it in reverse. Like, they let the fans vote. They take 50% of that into account, and then they let the players and media and coaches vote for the other 50%. Maybe what they should do is they should pick a pool of 25, 50, or if you want to pick 5 players from every team, that would be 150 players. And then the last couple of weeks, let the fans vote out of that pool of players.
Yes.
So it's, we know the chances of somebody like a Damian Lillard getting probably more votes because he's not getting votes taken away because, you know, even if I'm a Mavs fan, like, there's going to, you know, Yogi Ferrell shouldn't get a couple hundred votes.
He shouldn't get any votes.
Devin Haran shouldn't get a couple hundred votes.
Another guy, no votes.
You know, so this way, I think it would be best to, you know, they get together, they figure out, like Kawhi Leonard, he can't be on, he shouldn't be on the ballot because he didn't play enough games to be on the ballot. So the players and the coaches and everybody, they should come up with a pool of players, and then let the fans pick out of that. And that would eliminate some of these other, like Zaza Pachulia last year almost made it to the All-Star starters, because of what the country he's from, all these people are voting for him. Like, no, he wouldn't be one of those pool players if the players were to pick that. You know what I mean? So, but he does have his gripe. You know, I don't really know another solution besides, I mean, if they decide to, you know, increase the roster to 15, but then it's like not everybody gets to play.
Yeah.
You know, so. But, I mean, he is in the Western Conference, man. It's tough to try to make it as a guard, you know, even as a reserve. It's just so tough.
I mean, it's hard for Westbrook to make it as a starter.
Yeah.
Because I would start him over Curry.
Right.
I mean, you can't go wrong either way.
Right. But an All-Star game, I think he would just bring more flair to the game.
Because, yeah, because Westbrook is trying to win. He's not there to, you know, put on a show. He wants to win.
Yeah.
And that's why I love that guy. He's become one of my favorite players.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the NBA All-Stars have been announced. And, you know, I don't know what podcast it was. It may have been
podcast four.
Four. Well, we came up and we gave our All-Stars. So we came pretty close. We had Steph Curry.
Yep.
We had LeBron, of course. Those are no-brainers. We had Giannis. I'm not going to attempt that last name. You can go ahead and do that if you want to.
Yeah.
I think we had DeMarcus Cousins. We mentioned him. We had Anthony Davis for sure. DeRozan, KD, Embiid, Harden, and Kyrie. So those are the starters. If you are LeBron and you had the first pick, who would your first pick be?
I'm taking Kevin Durant.
Me too. And now that's just to be kind of petty too. No. I think I would take – no, I would take KD.
He's the second best player.
He's the second best player.
Yeah, you take the best – if you want to go try to win the game – You go get the best players.
So now
you go get KD. I mean, that's just you basically eliminate Steph Curry being able to take it because LeBron does have the first pick because he got the most votes. So you go get Kevin Durant. Let's see where Steph Curry picks, and based off of that, you make your next pick.
So let's do this. I'll let you be LeBron. You have the first pick. I'll be Curry, and I have the second pick. Let's just make our own little
team.
Let's make our own team right now. So you're LeBron. You win KD.
Yeah.
I'm Steph Curry. I think I'm going Giannis.
Okay. I'll go James Harden.
I'm going Westbrook. I mean, not Westbrook. I'm going Kyrie.
Okay. I'm going Anthony Davis.
So I will have to go – I'll go Embiid.
I'll go
– So we got Cousins.
I'll go DeMarcus Cousins.
And I will have to go with DeRozan.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that lineup at all. You can mix that up.
Yeah. See, I think that it's a kind of intriguing thing that they're doing this year. We'll just have to see how it plays out. I just, you know, kind of like we mentioned off air, I think it would be cool if they were to do the draft for each of those guys.
Especially if you're trying to do it for the fans. The fans want that interaction, and I think that would have been better. And we were trying to come up with a way off the mic, too, as – if we could have had Curry and LeBron together, but like you said, you made a good point. They're still playing games, so they probably be in the same area.
But they could do a FaceTime.
Well, you know what? Hey, but last week, or was it Monday? When did they play? When was the last time the Cavs?
Monday, man.
They could have did it on Monday. They were there together.
Well, they didn't announce the line or who made it till Thursday.
Well, they could have moved it.
Oh, of course.
And
but they probably didn't plan it out. The correct way, and they obviously, I think they will do it next week. Next week on Tuesday, or no, day after tomorrow, the reserves get announced, and I think the week after you'll have who the drafted players for each team are. That way, they can get the jerseys made and you know, set the lineup, and then they can start actually promoting the game based off the lineups too.
Well, Serge, I think you know I play NBA 2K, and this is my rookie year. And then, you know, I do the my player, and my player actually made it to the All-Star game.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm going to be a starter.
Okay.
With that said, we talked about Ben Simmons. Do you think that he should make it to the All-Star game?
I think he's very deserving, similar to Lillard. I just also think that there's a lot of guys in the East that are, you know, deserving on even as a reserve. I mean, from just even the guard position, you know, Kyle Lowry is somebody that should definitely make it, you know, one of the other teams. I mean, there's, you know, there's enough guys that could proceed or over-proceed Ben Simmons, but I would like it if he makes it. I definitely think it would be cool, even as a rookie, for him to make it would be pretty cool for the NBA.
I think it would be too, man, because he's that process in Philly is finally planning out.
Yep.
Him and Embiid, that would be a nice combination, so I would like that too. So let's talk about LeBron. He didn't get it just yet.
No,
he's about 8 points shy.
He's 7 points shy, and they play the Spurs on TNT on Tuesday, so I'm sure he'll get it then.
So as far as the all-time scoring list, where do you see LeBron ending up?
I see the way that he's playing. He's, you know, just turned 33. I think obviously he's going to make the playoffs regardless of, you know, if he's in Cleveland next year or not, regardless of what team he goes to, he's going to definitely make the playoffs. Will he go to the finals? I don't know, but, you know, he's going to play anywhere between 75 to 82 games during the season. He's going to probably play at least anywhere between 5 to 15 postseason games. And at the rate that he's going, you know, averaging about 27, you know, he'll have a couple of years where he's averaging maybe 22, 23. And I actually do see him playing till he's about 39 or 40. And with that being said, I think he'll end up being number one, at least for a short while, because there's a good chance that KD could probably catch him. But I definitely do think he will surpass Kareem as all-time leading scorer in the NBA.
Right now, he's number 7. He has 29,993. Dirk is next on the list. He has 30,829. And above Dirk is Wilt Chamberlain with 31,419. So I definitely see him. If he plays until he's 40 and he can stay consistent, averaging about 15 a game,
yeah,
I definitely see him passing Carmelo, who's number 2.
Yeah.
And he may get Kareem, man. That would be good because the knock on LeBron, he takes so many hits, man. So this could be one thing that he could really do and keep. And
KD's not a – quote unquote scorer, and he ends up leading all time or even being in the top 3. It's going to be crazy because he's going to end up being top 10 in assists and top 15 or 20 in rebounds and, you know, another top 10 and 15 in steals. I mean, it's just, you know, the argument against, like, is he one of the greatest is like, you know, throw that out the window.
It's asinine. It's just whether he will ever top Jordan. That's the next argument, and that's something that we can talk about today. Aren't you kind of tired of this?
No. I am, man. It just starts to get – and I think it's almost like, man, if he really just didn't wear the number 23, like – and that's the thing, like, just because he wore that number, it all ends up being that, like, oh, this is the next greatest thing. Like, when he came out, had the, you know, 18 years old, being on Slab Magazine and Sports Illustrated and, you know, getting the Sprite deal, Nike deal, you know, coming into the league. But then it's like, oh, like a lot of guys come out of high school, quote-unquote, hype. But he was the biggest hype player, and he's lived up to the hype and then lived past it. I mean – you know, but it's like comparing him to – doesn't matter if you're comparing him to Jordan, Kobe, Magic. Like, you can't – every player is different. This is like, hey, you know, I might do the same exact job at my work that you do at your work, but we can't compare ourselves to each other. So it's the same thing when it comes to the basketball court. Like, they don't do the same thing. If they score, they don't score the same way. If they pass – they don't pass the same way. If they rebound, I mean, that's usually a lot of effort. And then obviously, you know, a little bit of height obviously does help too. But it's just starting to become like, give it a rest until he's about to hang it up or he hangs it up and then have the discussion. But to constantly every year have the same discussion over and over again, because if you're pretty much born, you know, in the early to mid 90s onwards, you're probably going to pick LeBron. If you're born any time before that, you're probably going to pick MJ. And unless you are, you know, a student of the game and really understand, and then it's like you pick your poison. Like, what do you want? You know, how do you want your ideal player? Like, you like the way he plays. And just look, are you looking at strictly at numbers, or are you actually watching the games and see how they play, you know, see the little thing that they do throughout the game to see why they are, you know, above the next best player that's even currently playing, you know?
So my question to you, Serge, if they were to switch teams, if Jordan would have played for, well, Miami Heat with Dwayne Wade and Bosch, if LeBron would have played with Pippen, who do you think would have more championships?
Ooh, that's a...
And I mean, with LeBron, any of his championship teams that he, well, we went to the finals with.
Yeah. Man, that's a tough one. I'm going to still have to go with LeBron. I just think he's just a better overall talented player. Scoring, passing, rebounding, defensively, leadership, all that, making the players around you better. I think because of that, if it were just about scoring, of course I'd take MJ. Or if I last second shot of the game, yeah, I'll take MJ. But other than that, the first 46 minutes of the game, if you're willing to take LeBron over MJ the first 46 minutes of the game, then that means LeBron's a better player, like talent-wise. So I would think that with Pippen and the way they would play, regardless of who the other team – I mean, if he took the team in 2007 that he had in Cleveland to the finals, he could have probably took almost any team that had Pippen on it, had Horace Grant on it in the beginning, had Dennis Rodman on it in the later years, you know, with Ron Harper, co-coach. Yeah, man, I think LeBron would have – and he probably also wouldn't have taken 2 years off either.
No, LeBron, he wouldn't go try to play baseball. So I think we both agree on that, man. LeBron, I'm taking him over everyone because he's the best overall player this league has ever seen.
Yeah, talent-wise.
From talent, even scoring, playing defense, getting his teammates involved, he's just a team player. And he doesn't get enough credit for that. So Jordan is always going to be the GOAT because he's the best killer this league has ever seen.
Right.
Then you will have Kobe as far as just assassins.
Yes.
But just, like you said, overall talent, LeBron, hands down.
Right.
All right, speaking of talent, where should Kemba Walker, what's his best landing spot since they want to trade him?
I personally think it would be pretty cool if he can somehow, figure out a way to end up being on the Knicks. I think if I was the Knicks, I would trade their draft pick, Frank Ntilikina, and, you know, maybe even Courtney Lee. And I'd go get Kemba Walker, man, because to pair him up with Porzingis and Kanter, I think even just this year they can make a good playoff, push to make the playoffs, and then, you know, depending on the matchup, I mean, he's a flat-out scorer. I mean, and he's from the East Coast, and he played in the Big East, and, you know, he played in MSG, like all those crazy games leading up to the Final Four, when they won UConn won the championship. I mean, Kemba Walker, just a flat-out stud, and he also is another guy who doesn't get enough credit, you know, being out of the Eastern Conference, like he kind of like Damian Lillard, like, he just doesn't get the spotlight because they don't have nationally televised games coming out of Charlotte. I mean, they just don't. So I think going to the Knicks would be an awesome, trade bait for the Knicks if they want to go get him.
I like the Knicks, but like I told you off air, I would like to see him maybe go to Cleveland, give them another scorer. He could come off the bench. If he was willing to do that with him and Wade leading that second unit, could you imagine how good they could be?
Yeah.
And now that I think about it, why not try to go to the San Antonio Spurs?
Yeah.
Could you imagine him with Kawhi, Tony Parker? That's just added firepower. So I think we both agree.
I think he would be great for the Spurs, too. That would have been my other sleeper team. The only thing I would my only reservation for that is that Greg Popovich doesn't really like guys who are one-on-one players, or ball. But I think any player who's like that, if they go play for the Spurs, they'll be willing to change. I mean, look at Kyrie. Like, he went to the Celtics, one-on-one player in Cleveland. Now he's moving without the ball, moving all around, team player, playing better defense, just because of the coaching. And I think the coaching can help Kemba Walker tremendously. So, I think the Spurs would be a really cool thing. And then especially with Kawhi Leonard being out, you know, they need somebody else to, you know, to kind of help out Aldridge and, you know, stay afloat and be in the top four in the Western Conference.
Okay, so let's talk about what happened on MLK, on Martin Luther King Day. That's supposed to be a nonviolent day. This man, he didn't preach violence.
Yeah.
But you can't tell that to the Los Angeles Clippers or the Houston Rockets. So, with that said, give me your thoughts on what went down that day.
Well, I mean, just kind of watching the game. I mean, early it was, you know, nip and tug going back and forth. I mean, both teams were battling pretty hard. James Harden didn't play in the game. So, and the Clippers, I mean, I got to give it up to Doc Rivers and, you know, his coaching, because they've done a really, really good job of, you know, being a lot better than I thought they would be. Blake Griffin was out a whole bunch of games, but they got these G League players, two-way contract guys coming in and helping out. But as far as, like, what happened, you know, there was, like, words exchanged. You know, Austin Rivers wasn't playing. Blake Griffin, you know, kind of a little shrugging the coach and the players getting mad. And then, but the whole locker room thing, man, I got to hold CP3 accountable for that one, because CP3, number one, like, you're the president of the Players Association. You got to set a better example than that, too.
But they did say that he and James Harden tried to play
the peacemakers.
Yeah, the peacemakers.
Yeah, but then, like, but you still knew that Trevor Ariza wanted to go back there. And, you know, Trevor Ariza doesn't know that there's a back way to get to the other locker room.
That's true.
CP3 does. So if he's coming after, like, hey, like, nah, man, let's not even worry about that. We'll get him next time when they come into our building or when they come back here.
Now, CP3 was like, nah, man, we're going to go ahead and hit this back door and we're going to go in there and see what's up, what they're really talking about.
Yeah, and then, you know, and at the end of the day, like, all we get is, like, stories from, you know, we get stories from the Clippers side, we get the story from the Rocket side. You know, we don't get to see the hallway cameras. We don't get to, you know, have, like, actual footage of what really happened. So it's really hard to determine, but it's just like, why? Like, what are you really getting out of? You're not going to actually get into a fisticuff fight. You're not going to get into a fight. So, like, just eliminate all that. Keep the trash talking on the floor. And regardless of who said what, just leave it as is. And I mean, look what ended up happening. I mean, you got Gerald Green. You're not even involved. Like, why are you trying to step in when it has nothing to do with you? And then you end up getting suspended two games.
Hey, Gerald Green had to show, hey, man, I'm down. Yeah, y'all want to go get dirty, man? I'm here for that.
I guess.
But,
they need to do more of that with, like, maybe the Warriors, because that's the team that you need to be really, like, you know, put that stuff in their head. Like, hey, these guys aren't going to back down, and you want to put a little bit of, like, you know, attitude behind them. Like, the Clippers, they're not somebody that you're going to have to compete with in the West to try to go, because all you guys are put there in on Houston to try to beat the Warriors and try to somehow get to the finals.
But they got to put other teams on notice. Like you said, hey, I don't care. You the Clippers, you Cleveland, hey, we coming for you. So I love it, man. The NBA is so peaceful. We need these robbers.
No. I agree. On the court, I want it. I mean, to see CP3 and Blake Griffin, like, go at it a little bit, kind of shows you, like, there was a little bit of animosity when they were teammates, and now it's, like, starting to come out. Oh, I love all that stuff. And I think similar to, you know, I'm waiting to see, you know, the Cavs and Celtics play again. I mean, I'm sure now when, you know, Isaiah Thomas goes and actually plays in Boston, like, you know, I'm down with
but
all
see,
that.
But
it's
see,
just the off-the-court stuff that doesn't give you a good image, because it's just, like, now you're taking it into, like, a, you know, it looks very childish, like, how you went about doing it, as opposed to just trying to settle everything on the court and then just keep that only on the court.
But see, that's true hate in the sport. And, like, okay, they could have done it better than that, but I love every minute of this. It gives us something to talk about.
Sure.
And you mentioned IT. I think when he goes back to Boston and plays, it's different, because his hate is not for those players. It's not for the organization.
Right.
It's for Danny Ainge.
Right.
Even though he said they talked and they worked it out and they kissed and all that. No.
Yeah, no. I don't believe that either.
Okay, so let's move on to the college ranks. We got Zion Williamson, ESPN's second-ranked player in the nation. He decided to go to Duke. Go figure.
Of course.
Duke now has commitments from the top three players in the ESPN 100. R.J. Barrett, number one. Number two being Zion Williams. Number three is Cam Reddish. And they also had from the number 10 player, Trey Jones. Do you think Williamson will live up to the hype?
I do think that Williamson will live up to some of the hype. I definitely think he'll live up to the hype, but I think when he actually ends up making it into the league, I don't think – I mean, the fact that he's even having to – when he comes in next year and he has to actually play on the same court with the number one guy, the number three guy, and the number 10 guy, he's just not going to be able to get the same shine that obviously he gets in high school, because he's – you know, by far the best player on his team. I mean, there's nobody even close to that. But now when you go end up playing with other great players that are almost as good as you, maybe even better than you, you know, I just don't know if he's going to be able to, like, fit into a college system, kind of like how Ben Simmons was, you know. And I think Zion Williamson will be somebody that he'll be able to show his full potential in game when he actually makes it to the league. You know, he's one of those guys that I think it'll be really good for him to get coached by. As much as I hate Duke, I do respect Coach K. I'm a North Carolina Tar Heels fan, which is why I don't like Duke, but I think it'll be very good for him because he will be very well, even if it's only for 1 year, he'll still get prepared very well because Coach K, not only obviously he's a great coach when it comes to college players, but he's also been the coach for all these NBA guys during the Olympics. And so he knows what it takes for you to be one of those great, great players in the league. And if Zion Williamson has the talent, you know, hopefully he has the work ethic. And I think, you know, Coach K can kind of show him the ropes and like, hey, you know, when I was coaching in the Olympics, I coached Kobe, I coached LeBron, I coached D. Wade, I coached, you know, all these guys, all these star athletes that are in the NBA that are all future Hall of Famers. Well, in order for you to end up being like one of them or even better than some of them, this is what you're going to have to do. And I think that's the good part of being able to go to college and play for a particular coach. But other than that, you know, he's one of those guys, if it was available, he'd go straight to the NBA, yeah. You know.
But my thing is, all I see on ESPN is him dunking. So yeah. I don't know what his full game would be. So the only thing I can say, he would make a good piece to a team that's already set. Because from my understanding, the number one player,
R.J. Barrett,
he's really good.
Yeah.
But they don't show any highlights on him, you know.
Right.
Because he probably has an all-around game.
Right. Well, Zion Williamson, I've actually watched plenty of tapes on him. Like, watch actually full highlights of him rather than just seeing what the stuff on ESPN, because they're only going to show you the, you know, highlight dunks. He's a really, really good passer. I wouldn't say he's like Ben Simmons, you know, level of passing, but he's a really good passer, and he can handle the ball with both hands. And so that's why, like, he's a left-hander, but when he drives to the lane, he's able to switch hands, finish with both hands. And so he's already – and he's strong upper body already. For his age and his size, I mean, he's already has that mass that you need to be playing in the pros. Now it's all going to be between the ears that he needs. He just needs that guidance of, hey, this is the this is not a sprint, this is a marathon. This is not, you know, high school is like, what, 25, 28 games in a season or whatever. A college will be like 30, 32. No, we're talking about like 82 games, you know, playing every other day and playing back-to-back, playing four games in 7 nights. I mean, like, that's going to be the coaching that he needs to figure out, like, how to be a pro. And I think he's going to just keep getting better. If he's already that good now, I think he'll end up being, like, I've watched some tape on R.J. Barrett, not like Zion, but I think in the long future run, Zion is going to be way better than R.J. Barrett.
See, what I'm going to do out of this podcast, I'm going to go and I'm going to look at all three of their games. My only problem with that, you're the number two player in the nation. Why go join the number one and three? Go somewhere else and showcase your skills. That's what I'm saying.
Is that a cupcake move right there?
I'm thinking it's KD-ish. I really am, man. I just don't like that move. We need more parity in college. We need more separation of talent.
Yeah.
But that's the AAU for you.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm coming to join you. So you know, You know, RJ and Cam, they knew this.
Of course.
You know they knew this.
Yeah.
And top that, you got the number 10 player coming. Come on, man. Who's going to beat? They better not lose a game next year.
Like, I wish some of these guys would just stay where they're from. Like, Zion Williams is from South Carolina. So just go to South Carolina.
Go help that program.
Like,
put that program on the map.
You're gonna get drafted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Regardless if you go play at Duke, South Carolina, UTA, it doesn't matter. You're gonna go get picked in that top.
Yes.
And by actually going to a lesser team, you actually will be able to showcase yourself even more. And it's not about if you're gonna get drafted any higher, because you might get drafted number one regardless. But it's all the other stuff that comes along with being a pro, which is all the endorsements and all that extracurricular stuff that you can showcase. Because now you're going to Duke, like, okay, you're going to go play with a whole bunch of other freshmen, and there's nobody that's a leader on the court. So you guys are all kind of having to figure it out on the fly. And it's hard, you know, because as much as Coach A is going to coach him, hey, RJ Barrett, he's going to want his shot. Cam Reddish is like, hey, I might go top five, I might go top 20, but I want to go top five, so I'm going to try to take the shots that I get, you know? So it makes it a lot more challenging. You know, it's one thing to have Curry, Thompson, and Durant all on the same team, but it's just different. Like you said, in college, like, it needs to be expanded a little bit better. You know, they need to kind of go across and, like, you know, go to different teams and, you know, or go pick another good, solid team, but that's not, like, a, you know, perennial powerhouse. Like, go to Oregon, you know.
But I like your South Carolina because, look, the girls just won the national championship. Right. So now you're coming in there. Look at the hype that school is getting. It's not just all about football. You could put basketball on the map, too. So I think that's kind of selfish. It's KD-ish. It's very KD-ish.
Yeah.
Let's move on, man. We're going to talk about wrestling, and this segment is going to be called The Ringworm. We don't want you to get ringworms. We just want you to listen to our version of the ringworm.
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow, the WWE Raw will have its 25th anniversary. Who are some of the wrestlers you would like to see come back?
I'm going to have to start with The Rock. I mean, not even for any kind of wrestling stuff. Just want to get him on the mic. You know, just, you know, come out to, you know, talk trash to whoever that's out there that either may have mentioned his name. It probably ended up being The Miz or something.
Yeah, it'd be somebody like The Miz.
And every time they go at it on the mic, it's pretty awesome. So I would obviously love to see The Rock, Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels.
You know Shawn Michaels would be there. I'm pretty sure he'll be there.
Yeah, Undertaker would be pretty cool.
He'll be there too.
He'll be there too. Okay.
Give me DX, all of them. I just don't want. Well, I know X-Pac isn't going to be there. I don't know why, but. The New Age Outlaws will be there. You know, I go to CNN every day. They have it on Bleacher Talk, the wrestling segment. I'm always on there. I would love to see Hulk Hogan come back as well. I can't think of anybody else. I would love for some of the guys who passed away to be there. You know, the Eddie Guerrero's, the Chris Benoit's, but that won't happen. You know Ric Flair will be there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you got to have Ric Flair because we also don't know how many more times we might be able to see him, too, because of the age and health conditions and stuff he's going on. So, I mean, we got to get a woo in
there
somewhere. You got to get that somewhere in there for sure. But I'm really looking forward to it, man. I can't believe it's been 25 years.
25 years. That means we're old, man.
Yeah, number one running television show, you know. On cable. I mean, that's to Vince McMahon. I got to give it up to him, man. 25 years.
Hashtag Vince McMahon by NFL team.
Hashtag Vince McMahon for president, too. No.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
No, because he hangs out with that other guy.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
One of the first people to be announced to get into the WWE Hall of Fame this year is Goldberg. Now, my question to you, we know how he was in WCW. Was that overhyped or was he oversold?
No, I don't think he was oversold. I think, you know, WCW was just trying to be very strategic during a time where the ratings were every week was going back and forth. But, you know, WWF at the time, which is now WWE, always had the edge just because of the amount of talented superstars that they had. Even though, you know, WCW had Hogan and, you know, they started forming the NWO with Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and stuff, you know, they'd obviously started lifting up their ratings. So they needed to, but then it started becoming like every week, which is the same stuff. NWO comes out, you know, beat some of the other guys up, doesn't matter how good you are. And, you know, they strategically bought this guy, and it's like, you know, this guy played in NFL for, you know, a couple of weeks or something like that. But he has the body. He has the structure. Now he just needed to get into the wrestling shape. So now once he got to figure out wrestling, he's like, okay, let's slowly try to bring him in. And this is how we're going to build him up. Put him in the middle of the show, you know, let him fight some random people, beat him up in a couple of minutes, and then start building up his record. And then now the people that are tuning in are starting to see, like, man, this guy doesn't ever get on the mic. He's all business. He comes in, takes care of business, handles it, leaves. Next week, same thing, repeat. So then slowly, like, you start putting some of those other B-list wrestlers against him, and then now he's beating them up. And, okay, now he's coming into United States Championship. All right, he goes and wins that belt. Okay, now the only thing he knows, he's pretty much beat everybody else, and now it's like, all right, well, you know, they make it like, all right, we're going to have Goldberg, you know, go against Hogan. And
which was smart.
And it was smart. And it was in Georgia. You know, which is where he's, you know, he obviously played football and he's where he's from.
So he's a Georgia Bulldog.
The whole hype was there. I mean, you should have just seen. I mean, I still sometimes randomly when I get a chance, I go on YouTube and watch the highlights of that match, because right at the end of that match, you knew that he was about to win. And all these fans are just throwing stuff into the ring because they're just so excited. Like, they can't believe this is happening, because it was like literally – kind of like a passing of the torch, but it was like, it was just like all this venom that all these people had built up against the NWO. It's like, oh, you beating Hogan, not even on a pay-per-view, but on a Monday night. And the ratings for that night was through the roof for them because of just that match being hyped up there, you know. So, no, I don't think he was overhyped, man. And I think he played his part well. He did what he was supposed to do, what he was asked to do. He entertained. I mean, he entertained, and you can't really ask for, you know, anything more from a wrestler.
Yeah, and that's all we want to be, is entertained. I wouldn't say he was oversold either, because during the time that he was going in his 100 and, well, he won 100 straight matches, they were going against the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
So WCW had to come up with a gimmick. That NWO, man, that was perfect. It was so good that once they left WCW, Vince McMahon had a storyline, hey, the only way I can build a WWF or WWE back up is to bring in the NWO to destroy everything.
Yeah.
So that was just a perfect gimmick.
Yeah.
So what are some of your lasting memories from the Attitude Era?
Lasting memories? I think just the fact that you were able to get the full scope of entertainment from the buildup, from the guys on the mic talking trash. I mean, they were able to oversell it to you, like, that some of these guys absolutely hated each other. And they, all those guys played a vital part in, you know, how they did it. You know, some of the backstage brawls and running over with Carr and, you know, just doing more things than just in the ring. And they were able to take stuff a lot outside and, you know, in the parking lots, sometimes in the lake. And, you know, I mean, there's just so many different variations to so many different, you know, and it's like they can go, you know, 2-3 months with two guys going at it. And then they can go another 2-3 months taking each one of those guys who just went at it, put them like against somebody else, and then still keep the same amount of hype going.
Yeah, they kept us invested in that storyline with those two guys.
And it was amazing. I would say like 97 to like 2002, 2003 were just unbelievable, like what was going on. I mean, it was The Rock, Stone Cold. I mean, yeah, they probably didn't face each other too much, but it was like they're like co-headliners, and they were able to have their own storyline. Okay, Stone Cold was going against, you know, DX and Triple H for a little bit. Okay, now they, you know, he shifted on to his doing his own thing against somebody else, and now DX is going after The Rock. And, you know, it's just like you were just able to go back and forth. And then obviously when the acquisition happened with WCW and ECW, bringing in all the talent, but then you still had, even though The Rock started to do movies and stuff, he was still, you know, involved. You know, Stone Cold was still there, but you were able to bring in Hogan, Nash, all, you know, Chris Jericho, Eddie Guerrero. I mean, and then Tommy Dreamer, Sabu, Rob Van Dam, you know.
Dudley Boyz.
Even bringing in Brock Lesnar at that time, too, because he was fresh, you know, UFC fighter. You know, state champion, you know, college wrestling, and, you know, so big, you know, he had the mask, like he looked like a statue, you know what I mean? So it was just like all these different types. And then you got even all the tag teams. I mean, the Hardy Boys, you know, the
Yeah, the Dudleys. You had
Outlaws.
New Age Outlaws.
New Age Outlaws. Road Dogg. Road Dogg was hilarious. I can't even remember him.
You don't know? What did he say? You didn't know?
Yeah.
You better ask somebody. Hey, that's when wrestling was at its purest form. I loved it. One of the things that stood out to me in the Attitude Era was when Stone Cold and Triple H got together, they had all the titles. They were beating the hell out of everybody. I remember them specifically beating down the Hardy Boys, and they were beating them so bad that Lita tried to get on top of Matt, who she was dating at the time, and they beat the hell out of her, too. The one thing I do miss is right now we're kind of political. I like the the gender matches where I don't condone men beating women, but come on, this is for entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's some of the stuff I miss.
They're professionals, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're we don't want at your house, a man hitting a woman, but this is for entertainment, and these are professionally trained people. They're wrestling. They're not actually fighting to fight because they want to prove a point. They're not trying to make you bleed and put you in the hospital.
Yeah, I loved when Stone Cold would go out there, Stephanie McMahon, talking a little trash. Guess what she's about to get? She's about to get the stunner.
Yeah.
I remember Linda McMahon came out. She got it too. He was getting to everybody, man.
Well, the first chain of reaction was when he first Stone Cold stunned Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
and then he got arrested.
He got arrested every other week.
So it's like putting him in handcuffs. It's just like you believe, like, oh my god, he just did that to his boss. Now he's getting arrested. Like he's gonna go to jail, but like. You were sunk into the story.
And then and 20
he's
minutes
like,
later.
You want to know, how long is he going to be out for? Is he going to come back next week? Like, oh, he's back. Oh, like, who bailed him out? Like, how did he get out? Like, did he have to face trial because he still hit his boss? And look, the boss is out here. He's got a little neck brace on now. He can't even move his neck. I mean, that's so wrong. But that's what you bought into. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, I miss it. Like, I don't watch it like I used to just because, the entertainment value has obviously depreciated tremendously. Another, group to mention, Edge and Christian.
Oh, man.
Those guys were amazing.
Man. Oh, let me tell you a story. I actually saw them and Rhino in the mall when I was working. And out of all of the stars that I've seen at the mall, those were the ones who intimidated me. I went and got a magazine. I was going to get them to sign it. And once I got there, those guys are huge. I thought there was some little guys. I was like, I'm going to go back in this store. I can't do it, man. So we could talk about wrestling all day.
All day, for sure.
But we're going to move on. So we're going to have that segment coming every week. It's called Ringworm. Hey, if anybody wants to sponsor it, Chick-fil-A, High Top Pizza, who cares? Somebody give us a chance.
Yeah.
All right. The one thing I missed in our NBA talk, Serge, was our top 10 players of all time.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you go first. Give me your top 10.
My top 10 players, and not in any particular order, but I have these 10 people in my top 10. You have to start every conversation with Michael Jordan.
Yes.
It's automatic.
That's all.
But after that, and like I said, in no particular order, but I got Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Will Chamberlain, Larry Bird, LeBron James, Kobe, Shaq, Bill Russell, and Tim Duncan.
So I'll give you my 10. Jordan, LeBron, Magic, Kobe, Bird, Duncan, Shaq, Kareem, AI, Allen Iverson. I'm going Dirk.
Okay.
That's my top 10.
I can appreciate the Dirk one, but I'm not so sure about AI, man. Hey, but that's your list.
Hey, you got a 6-footer that's doing what he did, dominating the league, changed the game. You got to put him in the top 10. And we'll go more in depth on this on episode 7. So if you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, please give us your top 10. We would love to have that. So that was our NBA talk. We did a lot of NBA talk in our first segment. Now it's time to move on to the NFL. And we're going to start off with our picks of the week. We got the Jags at the Patriots. Who do you got?
I was wrong last week.
Yes, you were.
I was wrong.
But I'm not going to hold that against you too long, for this podcast.
The Jags. But the Jags played really well, and they surprised me. But I would have to blame a little bit more on the Steelers, too, as to why the Jags won. But at the end of the day, whoever wins the game, you got to give them credit. It doesn't matter how they did it. Luck or not, Vikings. But I'm I'm still picking the Patriots. I think experience, Belichick, Tom Brady, and my, I don't want to say MVP, but most important player is Rob Gronkowski. And I think the Jags, having not having to face somebody like the caliber of him, obviously the game was in New England, but I don't think Jacksonville doesn't really care where they're playing. It, you know, clearly they were able to beat the Steelers for a second time. But I think just that experience factor alone, but the way the Jacksonville's playing, man, I have one I was thinking about. I was like, do I have any friends who are Jaguars fans? I do have one friend who I actually know pretty well. He's, you know, he's a diehard Jaguars fan. So shout out to my boy Jayish. You know, he, you know, being in the same division as the Colts, for them to be able to make it this far, I mean, it's pretty cool. But I would definitely lean towards the Patriots, and I would not be shocked or nor surprised if somehow the Jaguars were able to beat the Patriots.
You have the Patriots. You have the greatest football player ever. I'm saying it. If he wins another one this year, he's a Michael Jordan. Like Skip Bayless said,
he would be all sports pretty much probably.
Yeah, because to win six championships in a violent sport such as football that's so team oriented.
Six out of eight is not bad.
That no, I know. And you have Bill Belichick, who you have to give probably the best coach ever to coach the game.
Absolutely.
But, Serge, you know around this time I get hungry, right?
Yeah.
And last week I went with my gut. How did that work out for me?
It worked out perfectly for you.
I picked the Jags to beat the Steelers.
Yes, you did.
I'm hungry right now. My gut is talking. I'm glad nobody's heard the rumblings of my stomach.
Yeah.
So you know who I'm going with, right? I'm going with the Jags to beat the Patriots.
Wow.
Hey, I'm putting it out there.
That's a
sometimes pick, in 2018, I'm living my life on the edge, except when it comes to the Cowboys. I'm picking them every week.
You might need to get on Sportsbook and make a bet, man, because
you know what?
You know, the line on the game, I think, is now 7 after Tom Brady injured his hand, because it started at 9.5, but once the injury happens, it's 7. And you know Vegas doesn't, you know, change lines on the game if they don't think that there's – and, hey, they can lose – but there's a good chance, even if they lose, they're going to lose by less than 7. So that's a good bet to take.
You know, in 2018, I got to be smarter with money, too. So I'm not going to jump out there that far. But you never know, man. I may do that. I may need to jump out there and put some money down.
They could, you know, knowing the Patriots, they might just win it at the field goal at the buzzer. You still win the bet.
And if I do come up on a whole bunch of money, guess what? Our next podcast could be down in Vegas.
Let's make it happen.
And you never know. So let's move on to the Vikings at Eagles. Who do you got?
Vikings at Eagles. Last week I picked the Saints to beat the Vikings.
And to be fair, we both picked the Saints last week.
We did.
So.
And
we looked good for a second. But we weren't the only ones. A lot of people picked the Saints. And everybody looked good until, what's his name? What's the guy's name?
Williams.
Williams decided to just go full on whiff.
Yeah. I actually want to touch on that right after we make the pick or we make our picks. So I'm gonna actually go with the Vikings. I think just the ride that they've been went on. Sometimes when you see a play like that the previous week happen to a team, yeah, part of it is luck, but it's part of it is also like there's a destiny factor.
Yes.
That I think even though they're playing on the road in Philly, I don't really trust Nick Foles. Philly pretty much has to win the game on defense because their offense is completely different with that Carson Wentz on the field. But with Minnesota, they got all their players intact. They got a great, great defense. But that's pretty much right there with Philly's defense. And their offense all around is better than the Eagles' offense. And so Case Keenum is playing, you know, really well. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen. Rudolph, I mean, but they have playmakers on the offensive side of the ball, and I think, I wouldn't even be surprised if it wasn't even a close game because I think the Vikings get the ball first and they don't score. I just think it's too difficult for the Eagles to, you know, keep up with Vikings as much as they score. So I'm going to go with the Vikings. So with my prediction would be a Vikings hosting in Minnesota the Super Bowl. And going against the Patriots. That is my prediction as of now.
Out of these four teams, we know that the Patriots have the best quarterback.
Yes.
So the number two quarterback, you have to pick Case Keenum.
Absolutely. That's not even a question.
So with that said, with Case Keenum's play and you have Diggs and the other receiver,
Thielen.
I got to go with the Vikings. Not only that, my best friend, man, he's a Vikings fan. He's been a diehard for years. He's like one of three Viking fans that I know. So with Nick Foles being the quarterback, if it was Carson Wentz, this would be a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah.
You would have the Eagles over them easily.
Yeah.
So my Super Bowl is going to be the Jags versus the Vikings. And I don't know how many people would like that. I don't think the NFL would like it.
Definitely.
The NFL definitely didn't like the Jags beating the Steelers last week.
They didn't like the Vikings beating the Saints either.
They didn't.
Because they wanted Drew Brees against, ideally, Tom Brady, because or Ben Roethlisberger. Ideally, Tom Brady, just because at least it's like they had that whole 2 weeks, you got to have enough storylines to sell. But if the Jags and Vikings make it, outside of the fact that Minnesota is getting to host it in their own stadium, there's no other storylines, none whatsoever.
And see, that's what we need. We need more parity in sports. I mean, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl regardless of who's in there. So I could care less.
I would say most people would still watch it, but then, like, there's going to be people who are probably going to attend Super Bowl parties, but they're really not watching the game at all. They're just partying because they're just getting together with their friends more than they are interested in watching the game.
If the Eagles win it, I'll be playing more dominoes and paying attention more to my domino game than the Eagles, to be honest. But I would love to see the Vikings versus the Patriots or Jags. But for my sake, it'll be the Vikings versus the Jags. Our next segment that we're going to bring to you every week is called Life Comes At You Fast. And I know you want to talk about the Saints cornerback, so I'll give you an opportunity to go ahead and talk about that.
Man, that play, I was watching the game, sitting there, I'm like, okay, 10 seconds left. I was like, they pretty much would have to get at least 30 to 40 yards, get out of bounds to have a chance to kick a field goal because they didn't have any timeouts left. And when he threw the ball, I was like, oh, man, I was like, somebody might catch this. Defensive offense, somebody's going to catch it because he floated it because you could tell it wasn't going towards the sidelines. And as the ball is in the air, you could see Williams come in, and you could see the other guy, number 20, I forgot his name, but they're both kind of converging because there was another receiver that was underneath that route. And when Stephon Diggs went up, I'm like, why wouldn't you either A, stop yourself, let him catch it. Of course, yeah, you want to tackle him inbound still and run out the clock.
And you can tell from the tackle he was trying to make when he came from the inside, he was trying to hit him to make him stay inbounds, but a total whiff?
Yeah, you can't total whiff. I mean, you can't – my thing is you can do all that, but you still got to keep your head up to make sure you're putting your eye on the person.
And not only that, you want to wrap up.
Right.
He tried to go for the big hit.
So if you're not going for the – like, ideally, if you're running after him, like, you could just stop and wait till he catches it. Let him try to make a move. Or even if he gets out of bounds and there's, say, 3 seconds left, okay, now you're giving the other team a 53-yard field goal, 54-yard field goal to try to win the game. I'm not saying that he won't make it, but it's still better than trying to give yourself, like, I'm just going to go after this. Because not only do you miss the guy, you end up hitting your other guy that maybe had a chance to make the play on, number 20.
And I think they said the other guy ran like a 4.45 or something, yeah, so he had a chance to go catch
because
him.
Because there's no way, Diggs is thinking that, oh, I'm going to catch this, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to run in the end zone. No, there's no way. All the receivers right there are taught to catch the ball, go out of bounds, catch the ball, go out of bounds. We got to go out of bounds so that we give ourselves another chance. Even if it's a Hail Mary or even if it's a long field goal, one or the other. But, but the wherewithal that he had to know that, okay, I caught it and I'm turning, I'm trying to go towards the sidelines. But, the defender that was taking care of me just ran himself out of the play. Well, there's nobody in front of me. 3, 2, 1, 0. It's still 0. It's still 10 yards away and he runs it in. And the game's over. And, man, I was like, I cannot believe it just happened. And I felt the worst for Drew Brees because Drew Brees played a heck of a game.
He played, yes, he did.
I mean, he deserved, to be able to go and at least play in the NFC Championship game because, we don't really know how many years he has left as well, especially on a good team like they had. I mean, they had a good run, but man, I just couldn't believe that. But you know, but the same guy who made an interception earlier in the game, for him to, I understand he's, you know, he's only a rookie, he's only 21 years old, so you got to give him the benefit of the doubt. But you cannot completely miss. Now, I don't care what, you know, age you are, you cannot completely miss him. If you at least nudged him, I mean, shoot. Get a penalty, trip him. I don't know.
You have to, like, do something. You cannot give up a big play like that. Now you're going to be known for that forever with the Saints.
The memes that are going out for him.
Oh, they were so funny. No, did you see the one where Stone Cold got him? Stein. Oh, man. Yes.
RKO. I've seen, I mean, the whole thing. I've seen Michael Jackson videos.
Yeah, he was ice skating, or the power skating, whatever it's called.
Oh, my God. I think his one is probably one of the worst just because of the still photo that they have of him bending down with one arm to the side going up, and it's just, man, it's, I feel for him, but yeah, he did take it like a man after the game and said, hey, well, it's my fault, that was on me. You know, obviously if I had to do it over again, you know, I would make a different play, but you know, I guess wrong, and I can appreciate, you know, if I was a teammate of his saying like, hey, unlike just being scared or, you know, being only 21, you know, God only knows what's probably going through his mind. And then, shoot, I'm pretty sure he got some death threats, too.
Yeah, he did. And not only that, you know how they say one play didn't...
define.
Oh, yes, it did.
Yeah.
That's not true. That play there is going to go down in Saints history. It's like one of the boneheaded plays ever.
Just like the Seahawks didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch and threw it.
Oh, my God. And another bonehead thing is we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they look past the Jacksonville Jaguars. And their guard, David DeCastro, was not happy with a few of his teammates disrespecting the Jags. And one of the things he said was, it's embarrassing. It really is. It just blows my mind. They beat us 30-9 on October 9th. We play like crap. And we want to talk about New England. It's just stupid. It's just not what you do. You don't need to give a team like that more bulletin board material. So do you agree with what he said?
Absolutely. I think... even if they didn't even beat, even if they didn't play this season or the Steelers did beat the Jags, it doesn't matter. You still don't disrespect on the team by talking about the potential team that you might be playing next. I mean, it's all about today and, you know, even for them tomorrow, because all the talk was all the way up and leading up to Saturday. I mean, the game was on Sunday. So, you know, talking about, one of the DBs talking about the Patriots and talking about Tom Brady and, like, you know, we're already, you know, planning and buying, you know, getting our tickets ready to go to for family to go to New England. Like, come on, man, you can't just, like, look past the team that you had to play. Because at the end of the day, no matter how good the Jags you think are or not, lucky or not, the fact that they're there, there's a reason why they're there. And you got to give respect to their defense, because their defense is – one of the, if not the best defense in the league. So to basically overlook, and then that's without if they didn't play against each other. But now you actually did play against each other, and you got your butt whooped at home.
Yes, when your quarterback threw 5 interceptions.
And you let Leonard Fournette run all kinds of wild on you, and then you come out, okay, all right, now if you do all the talking, you got to walk the walk, you know what I mean? And they came out flat. I mean, they were just, I mean, Leonard Fournette was just running left, right, left, right. Didn't matter. And you started making, you know, Blake Bortles, you know, look like the next coming of Peyton Manning. I mean, like, this dude was out here just not necessarily zinging, but he was able to make precise throws because all his receivers are wide open because you're not even playing defense. This is like, I mean, it started just becoming one of those games, play calling. I mean, it was horrible. They were down 14-0. They were driving. They had 4th and less than a yard. And instead of QB sneaking it with Ben Roethlisberger, who was at that time was 18 of 19 in QB sneaks in his career with a yard or less, they pitch it to Le'Veon Bell, running to the short side of the field against a Jacksonville defense.
Jacksonville defense is built like an SEC defense. They have speed. They have so much talent. So, like you said, Big Ben is 6'5".
Yeah.
Just go forward. Tom Brady would have did it.
But, you know, he's going to say, oh, well, the play that was called is what he ran. But, dude, you won 2 Super Bowls. You're the leader of the team. You're the quarterback. You're on the field. You know, I would – I would rather have you try and not get it, because I think that would have been a better play where I wouldn't argue with the decision you made or you overruled the play calling of the coordinator. Like, come on. Like, you got to be able to just know, like, no, I'm going to be able to go get this, because do I really see a pitch to the short side of the field? Because they're on the, you know, the hash mark that was closer to the TV, and they ran it that direction. If you're going to run it in the other direction so there's actually more room for you to run and maybe see if there's any room there. I mean, they lost like 4 yards on that play. And so instead of potentially being down 14-3 at the worst case, more than likely the way they were driving, it was going to be 14-7. You turn the ball back to them, they come down, score, they're up 21-0. Yeah, you came back, you made it close, and blah, 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 blah. But that one play right there, you know, early in the second quarter, made the whole difference in the game, because, you know, it was a momentum changer. I mean, and they had momentum going for them, and they just completely ruined it. So you to do all that talking during the week, and in addition to that, you come up on the field and you don't back up what you say. And, I mean, their defense was horrible. So, you know.
It's called Any Given Sunday for a reason.
Yeah.
And if you're going to talk crap, you better be able to back it up, because you see Jacksonville, they've talked a lot of mess and they've been backing it up. So we'll see. All right. We want to thank you for listening to episode 6 of Sports Life Talk. Next week on the show, we're going to talk about the 25th anniversary of Raw that comes on tomorrow. We're going to talk about should the Steelers keep Le'Veon Bell. We're going to talk about our top 10 again. You want to give our social media handles?
Yep, Facebook.com, Instagram, Twitter, all at Sports Life Talk, SoundCloud.com/Sports Life Talk, and Blog Talk Radio, BlogTalkRadio.com/Sports Life Talk as well. And we should be getting on iTunes. I know I mentioned it a couple times previously, but there's been a little bit of issues going on with iTunes and a lot more challenging than we thought it was, but we're definitely going to get it on there, and you're going to start seeing a lot more of us throughout social media coming up here soon.
Yeah, so give us your top 10 on Facebook or Twitter, please. And next week, we're going to also talk about how the refs are being treated in the NBA. So once you have to enjoy the rest of your week, we'll see you next week. We want to thank the Roberts Media Group and Blog Talk Radio. This is Sports Life Talk, where life without sports is just talk. Have a good one.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah.